Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and on this segment, we are going to be looking at a few more important transits occurring in the month of April, and we'll kind of move into May. And I just wanted to talk about a few other important astrological configurations to have on your radar as we move through summer and also the end of the year. If you listened at the beginning of the year for the 2024 horoscope that I posted on Astrology Now, we talked about 2024 being a year like no other. There are so many potent and rare occurrences that are happening in the year of 2024, some of which do not happen very often, like our Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that we just had. But also, of course, the solar eclipse that hit North America. And we're also having experiences that we haven't ever had before, like the Pluto return in the birth chart of the United States, right? This is something that we truly have never experienced as a nation. It's our first time moving through this. And I think it's obvious when we look in the world around us, there are experiences happening here in the United States that have truly never happened before. And it is illuminating facets of our government, of maybe our lawmaking that may need to change or transform in some way. And so we'll get more into that, but definitely go back and listen to the 2024 horoscope if you haven't yet, because we spoke about some of these bigger transits for the year. But, you know, we were talking about it being a year of new experiences, and I think that it's definitely pulling through for that. But we're not going to spend too much time on transits that are further ahead, like summer or fall. I'll just kind of touch on them briefly. We're going to really focus on the more current transits that we're going to be experiencing here in the next couple of weeks. But April's a busy month, and it continues to be a busy month. Of course, we had that solar eclipse that happened at the beginning of the month that really, you know, gained a lot of attention. And we had the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that happened this month as well. And that truly does not happen very often. And it definitely is rare to occur in the sign of Aries. And so for many of us, that conjunction is bringing up really big life shifts, really big life changes, maybe some opportunities. There could be doors closing and there could be doors opening. But the interesting thing about Uranus is that it's kind of sudden and it's shocking. It represents electricity. And so I always think of that type of energy when I think of Uranus. And so if you had any planets around 27 degrees of Aries or Libra or Cancer, Capricorn, there may be some pretty big shifts and changes happening now for you. So kind of moving on into the month of April, kind of further ahead here. So Mercury went direct on April 25th, and this is a huge relief. Mercury has been debilitated. It's been retrograde. It's been with Rahu. Mercury is such an important planet to track because it governs so much of what we're constantly engaged in nowadays. Mercury is our cell phone. It's technology, social media, communication, it's emails, it's text messages. So, you know, we're engaged with these things pretty much all day long. Aside from technology, it's also the inner workings of various apparatuses, which, I mean, I guess, of course, is considered technology as well, but it could be kitchen appliances, our vehicles, machinery that we're using. And most importantly, Mercury is our cognitive processing. It has to do with how we process, analyze, utilize information. It's kind of like the computer in our brain, right? Our ability to compute concepts and information. It's our ability to organize and our ability to communicate. So while Mercury is going through all of this stress and pressure, it can definitely cause us to feel scattered, to feel overloaded, maybe to not know what to prioritize in our lives because we're overwhelmed and we have a lot of things on our plate. And it can also bring certain health issues involving, as I mentioned, the nervous system, lungs, it could be neurological, it could be skin. But I was just talking to my boyfriend about this. We went climbing the other day, which we do often, and I was just feeling so nervy, which it's normal to feel nervy while rock climbing, but like especially jumpy, especially nervy. And then today we were talking about Mercury and Rahu combination. He's like, oh, maybe that's why I feel so weird. That's like, probably. So if you are feeling just kind of off, if you just feel a little extra nervous, if you feel overwhelmed, if you are feeling that disorganized, scattered, kind of out of it feeling mentally, that's definitely what is going on. It's because Mercury and Rahu are in the same degree. Mercury went direct. It's still debilitated in Pisces. Mercury is having a complicated time right now. And as it may be reflected in our personal lives, you know, other ways it may be showing up is maybe people are getting emails wrong, or data is entered into a system incorrectly, or someone sends us the wrong email. There can be these confusions, and there can absolutely be more disorganization in the world around us. And something that I'm thinking of is the media also. Just really quick, y'all, I'm looking outside and there's like this little like robin, little red robin. I think that's a message for you. I'll look up what a red robin means. But anyway, when we're looking in the media, there's so much back and forth. People, you know, we don't really know what's real. There's different information coming out with like defamation cases, or with the OJ trial. You know, OJ passed away and then it brought up all of this stuff from the past. That's such a Mercury retrograde thing. And then people are kind of arguing over what happened and what didn't happen, how things are being represented. Of course, Mercury is also the media. And then also with reproductive rights. My God, you know, this has been a theme for a while here, but people going back and forth, things, you know, people not knowing what to do, what's right, what's not right, and states revising their laws and their rights, and the nation revising laws and rights. So definitely we have seen Mercury under stress and pressure globally. Mercury also represents travel, so different travel delays, issues with travel and things like that. So all of that to say, Mercury went direct. This is good news, but we're still waiting for Mercury to move out of Pisces. Mercury will officially move out of its debilitation point and away from Rahu on May 10th. So we still have a little bit of time here with Mercury being debilitated and with Mercury being with Rahu. So we can still anticipate some of these things for the next, you know, couple of weeks here until May 10th. After May 10th, things should start feeling better on the Mercury front, at least. So that's been a theme here in the house. On April 28th, this is something else I was looking at, Neptune and Mars are going to be in the same degree. And so, first of all, Mars is the planet of war, and it is the planet of aggression and violence. Now, that's the more negative quality, I suppose, right? Because I think that there is a time for anger. There's a time for aggression in life. Sometimes it is dharmic to act with aggression. You know, if somebody is a warrior and their dharma is to be in the role of a warrior, then they are intended to use anger and aggression, right? But I suppose those are the sharper qualities of Mars. It can be violent. It can be impulsive. And on the positive front, Mars is bravery, courage, willpower, valor. It's such a physical planet. So it has to do with athleticism, the muscles in our body, our ability to pursue or to move forward in a realm of things. So if you have a really strong Mars, you may be very athletic. You may have a lot of energy. You may not hesitate to go for the gold or to follow your dreams. And then similarly, it could also be more of a mental thing. Maybe you have a really high operating position at work. You're in the position of a CEO, or you are a leader or a mentor in some way, and you have that mental capacity to move forward and to pursue. Again, it gives you that courage to do so. So Mars is a great planet. We love Mars. We need Mars, right? But when it gets out of balance, that's when it starts operating in this way that is more impulsive and violent and unhinged sometimes, depending on what's happening. And to be honest with you, I think that Mars is kind of moving into this point where it might get a little unhinged. And, you know, I never want to fearmonger here on this podcast, but I do want to give y'all an objective reflection of what I'm seeing in the same way that I would give a friend or my partner or a family member. I would always be honest and straightforward with them. I want to be honest and straightforward with you all as well. And so Mars and Neptune, again, they're going to be conjoining on April 28th. And Neptune has a tendency to create illusions, to make things more mysterious. It can kind of cloud reality, and it can cloud our perception. On the positive side, Neptune can deeply increase magnetism, intuition, spiritual inclination. And so it does depend on your rising sign, how this is going to influence you personally. I do horoscopes at patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. I'll try to remember to do this one specifically for everybody. But if you are an Aries ascendant or Aries moon, having Mars with Neptune, definitely offer you a profound opportunity for spiritual development and spiritual insight. You may feel more inclined to seek spiritual information. But it could also make us feel more confused. It could make us feel more clouded, you know, we may feel a little bit more scattered. If we are a Libra ascendant, Mars is the seventh house ruler. So it can, you know, maybe there's something with relationships. There's something that's less clear. There's something that is less straightforward. We might feel less certain about relationships, or maybe our partner is moving through a time where they feel confused and they're trying to gain clarity. So it does depend on your personal chart how this is going to influence us. But for everybody, because Mars has to do with that willpower and courage, and then there's Neptune, on the best side of things, feeling a lot of ambition and motivation for spiritual practice. It's an excellent time to study astrology or tarot, religion, philosophy. Really good time to have a sadhana or a daily spiritual practice. On the more complicated front, we may feel less clear about where to allocate our energy. You know, we may feel more confused about it, and we may feel like we struggle with boundaries, where we say yes, where we say no, how much we put up with, because Mars is also knowing how to engage in conflict or when or when not to engage in conflict. And so with Mars being with Neptune, we may feel less able to discern which fights to fight, you know, what's worth fighting for. Where should I invest my energy in this? You know, is it worth engaging? Is it worth arguing? Maybe when it comes to our own wants and desires, because Mars also has to do with passion and desire, we may feel confused in some way, or there may be something that feels less clear. And, you know, people may be less clear, straightforward. Neptune, I also want to say, does have a big connection to natural healing and natural remedies. And Mars, you know, Mars can totally be associated to health. So if you're wanting to get involved in any herbalism, acupuncture, you know, natural remedies, natural healing, that can be very positive. On the global scale with Mars and Neptune, you know, I think that this is just going to be a very complicated time when it comes to enemies, opposition, allies. Things may not be what they seem. So be very mindful with that. You know, the media can be very tricky. There can be a lot of misinformation. I hate that term, but I don't know, skewed information, unclear information with this Mars and Neptune conjunction, especially when it comes to who our enemy is or who we should be fighting or who we should be going after or whatever. So just kind of keep an eye on that. That is Mars and Neptune. Again, it's kind of happening at the earlier end of Mars being in Pisces. And Mars is going to be with Rahu until June 1st. And it will completely conjoin Rahu on May 19th. So that's kind of like the trajectory. Again, Mars entered Pisces. It's going to be in Pisces until June 1st. Kind of through this transit, Mars is going to be with the planet Rahu. And it will be at its heightened point again on May 19th. And so this is a very important thing to be watching. I was talking about how Mars, when it gets unbalanced, it can kind of get unhinged. Mars with Rahu creates, I think I've told y'all before, I like have Mars-Rahu karma. It's like everyone in my life has that combination, which I love because it gives someone a lot of energy and they're very passionate and excited and they, you know, really know how to go for it. And if it gets unbalanced, people can be aggravated, they can be violent, they can be aggressive. When Mars is in a water sign, especially, it's like it's trying to operate in a river or trying to operate in the ocean, right? Mars is debilitated in a water sign. Mars is debilitated in the sign of Cancer. When it's in Pisces, first of all, Pisces is ruled by Jupiter, and Mars and Jupiter, that energy actually does quite well. So it's really, it's not nearly the same as being in Cancer necessarily. But it's still trying to operate in a water sign. And so Mars is going to feel a little bit more confused. It's going to feel a little bit more nebulous. Being with Rahu, it absolutely, for this period of time, end of April, all of May, it can definitely increase the odds of there being violence, explosive events, impulsive events, aggression. And what I think is interesting is that this is occurring in the fourth house of the United States. So I do think that citizens are going to be unhappy. I think that we are going to be arguing and having disputes over different laws, rules, and regulations in our country, you know, assuming we're in the United States, which I know many of you are not, but for those of us in the United States. And I think that there may be some tension with enemies because for the chart of the United States, Mars governs the 12th house. So it also, of course, governs the fifth house, which has to do with like conception. So I think that we'll continue having all of this controversy and stress over reproductive rights. But I also think that there is going to be stress with foreign alliances, with people in foreign lands, with adversities, with enemies. I think it's going to be a heightened time. So definitely keep that in the back of your mind. I think that at best for us with Mars and Rahu, it's an excellent time to step into roles of leadership if we're given that opportunity. When it comes to courage and willpower, if there's any opportunity, right, to express being courageous or being brave or being ambitious, this is a great time for it. And I do see for some of us having kind of heightened energy, so we can be very productive, we can get a lot done, we can be very energized. The only things to kind of watch out for are accidents and injuries. We don't want to be too impulsive. We don't want to burn ourselves out also. So those are things to be watching. I know that we briefly spoke about that in the previous podcast as well. So I took some notes here for the Mars and Neptune. Commitment is elusive. There may be some confusion with how we perceive reality. Pretty standard Neptune stuff. So Pluto is going to square Venus at 7 degrees of Aries on April 30th. And so I don't see this having too big of an impact on everyone. It really does depend on your personal birth chart. But with Pluto square Venus, what that can do is, first of all, there can be kind of like layers peeled back in relationship. I'm kind of envisioning it like an onion. So if you have been in a long committed relationship, it offers an opportunity to go deeper, to understand your partner with more clarity and kind of getting current. You know, I think sometimes if we're in a long relationship, we kind of start, you know, or we assume we know who the person is. You know, we kind of develop this identity for the individual that we impose on them throughout life without necessarily letting them change and letting them evolve and letting our perception and expectation of them change as they grow and evolve. And so it's an opportunity to kind of get current, to break down any perspectives or projections that may not necessarily be a true current reflection of who the person is. So it's definitely a powerful opportunity to go deeper, to bring spirituality into relationship as well. Now there can be some conflict. There can be some clashes of power and power struggles in relationship as well. If you have any other planets around 7 degrees of Aries, this may particularly influence you. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. But there could also be very powerful opportunities coming up as well. It depends on what Venus governs in your birth chart, but there can definitely be opportunities to step into a role of power. It's just important not to be overly domineering or overly controlling if you are given those opportunities. I would say at very worst, there can be some fights and clashes in regards to relationship because Venus is all about relationship. And so if those clashes do come up, if power struggles come up, just try to catch yourself, take a chill pill. It's a very brief transit. don't let it cause lasting damage. Just try to move through it smoothly. Again, it's a very, very brief transit here. So Venus will be in Aries from April 24th until May 18th. We briefly spoke about this on the April podcast. Venus in Aries, I personally like. I think it's a very fun transit because Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. There's a youthful, fun, kind of vibrant quality to Aries. It can be, again, very youthful, very optimistic. It can also be impulsive. And it can be quick to make decisions. So it kind of needs to slow down in that regard. But it's also a very physical sign. It can be very physically active. It can be very physically motivated. It's extremely passionate and excited. And so when Venus comes into Aries, it definitely offers us that opportunity to find joy and fulfillment through physical activity. So it could be trying a new sport, trying a new activity, maybe taking a walk, exploring nature. And if doing things outside or doing things physical isn't necessarily your thing, it could be doing something physical in another way, like building an art project or constructing something out of wood or constructing something out of metal, you know, just doing something with the physical body. It is also a time where there will likely be a lot more passion and excitement when it comes to love and romance. And it is an opportunity, rather it be with a significant other or family or friends. It's an opportunity to do something new, fun, spontaneous, to explore a new part of the city, to explore a new restaurant, to just do something new that shakes up your daily routine. So again, that's going to be between May 24th and May 18th. What we want to watch out for is that Venus in Aries can get caught in the grass is greener on the other side mentality. It can be very quick to be excited about something and then very quick to lose interest. It can be very impulsive with decision making. So if any of that starts coming up, try not to get lost in it because it's a notoriously impulsive time, and impulsivity doesn't necessarily include wisdom. If we think about being wise, it usually includes slowing down, really contemplating things, being mindful. Try not to get swept away with too much impulsivity. So Pluto is going to retrograde on May 2nd, which is the day after Jupiter enters Taurus. So Jupiter is going to move into the sign of Taurus on May 1st. This is a big one. This only happens once a year. Jupiter is a social planet. So whatever it's doing, it has an impact on the culture, on the community, on the globe, has an influence on everything. So this is definitely a very big transit for the year. And Taurus is all about food and resources, greenery. It's an earth sign. It also has to do with the economy, with wealth, finances, the stock market. This is going to be a big year for wealth and money in the economy. And I also think I've been talking about this for a while, this focus on food and resources and how we, you know, treat our food and how we kind of make things sustainable. I'd mentioned this on a previous podcast, this, you know, lab-grown meat by Jeff Bezos. We have Appeal with Bill Gates. I think that we're just going to see more and more of this interesting stuff. And also maybe even ethics around it being brought to the surface. So Pluto's going to retrograde on May 2nd. This, if you have any planets at 7 degrees of Capricorn, this is particularly going to influence you. Capricorn, Cancer, maybe even Aries or Libra, but particularly Capricorn or Cancer, it can definitely bring this kind of maybe a sudden change in life, a sudden breakdown or rebuild in some capacity. So Sun will conjunct Uranus on May 13th, which isn't as big of a deal. That happens way more frequently than the Jupiter-Uranus combination. But the Sun with Uranus on May 13th, I think that this will influence leaders and leadership. There may be something jolting or shocking or sudden that occurs with a leader around the world. And so these are some of the major transits that we have coming up in the next couple of weeks here. But I also wanted to say that as we move through summer, we are going to get to this point where Mars is getting close to Uranus. And so that's going to be very interesting over summer months. I think the summer months are going to be particularly hot and potentially combustible when we're looking at global affairs. And I wanted to remind you all again that as we move through 2024, as we move towards election season, we're going to have another round of Pluto return for the United States, and Mars is going to retrograde in the sign of Cancer, where it is debilitated. So the winter, the fall and winter months, I think are going to be very, very stressful. I think that the election, again, transparently, if I was talking to my mom, if I was talking to a good friend, I would tell them, I think it's going to be very stressful. I think that the election is going to be unlike anything we've seen before, truly. I mean, I think that we're kind of already getting there. I think that what we're witnessing now in politics is definitely unique. And so I think that, again, the election, I don't foresee it going smoothly. I don't foresee it being clean and clear. I think it's going to be a very confusing time. And whatever the outcome is, you know, I'm not super sure that people are going to feel happy and content with what happens. So that is what I'm anticipating for the rest of the year. There are a lot of really amazing transits to take advantage of on a personal level, and there's so much that we can do in our own individual life to create a difference for ourselves and to create a difference for others. And so I think it's really important when we see these more intense transits from a global perspective, not to get too lost in them. I know it's hard not to. But when I was a social worker and I was working with people from all over the world, I would get so stressed out that there were all of these things happening in other countries. And every night I would go home and think like, oh my God, like how can I make a difference when there's so much happening all over the world and I can't, you know, change everything all at once. And again, it's difficult. And I'm sure that many of you feel this way as well. And what I had to train myself to do is really focus on working at one client at a time. And if I could make a difference, if I could help make a difference in this person's life, if I could help them with their life and make it easier and softer, then that's helping them change their entire world. And if you've ever had, if you personally, if you listening right now, if you've ever had anyone say something to you or help you with something or give you a gift or support you in some way where it totally changed your life, you know that feeling of like, that totally changed everything for me, completely changed my life. It means so, so much to us. And so I think it's so important to hold on to that because we have the ability of facilitating really big impact in people's lives. And we can get really lost in the grand scheme of things, and we can get really lost in everything at large. And I totally believe in trying to make a global impact and working on advocacy, and with whatever energy we have, whatever time we have, if we feel called to utilize that to make a difference, like, that's beautiful and absolutely go for it. But, you know, if we have kids and we have a job and we're at home and we feel that there isn't, that we can't change the world overnight and we're kind of stuck in that, I think it's really important to come back to who we can serve right now. Who can we serve in this moment? Whose life can we bring a softness to in this moment? How can we uplift and help and heal with what we have right now? Because then we're actually being helpful. We're actually leaving an impact. We're actually being supportive instead of getting lost, you know, and spinning out over what we can't do and what we can't change. And I think that if all of us kind of stayed in that space and really focused on who we can serve right now, we would really create a world of difference. And so hopefully that helps soothe someone out there, because I trust me, I know how it can be. And I think that there is a lot of messaging out there that may make us feel less powerful or have less agency. And I just don't see that being the case. I think that if all of us can focus on what we have immediate control over and what we can impact in the here and now, and all of us are doing that, we really would change the world, and we really are changing the world. So hope that that helps. Don't get lost in the intensity, because the rest of the world is doing that. We have astrology so that we can kind of rise above it, stay level-headed, and stay in our discernment. So my website is innerknowing.yoga. Patreon is patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. Instagram is astrologynow_podcast. That is what I have for today's segment, and I will see you all next week. Again, my name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much.